I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo,
a gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Welcome to The Memo. It is Thursday, April 7th. I almost said March, but March is long since over.
No, yeah.
Lauren Wood joining us. I'm Bradless today.
Hey, Derek.
Hey, Lauren.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
You've had coffee.
Yes.
I have
luckily.
Not. Give me some of your coffee.
Nope.
Please? I need it. I'm so tired.
Me too.
Why are y'all so tired?
It's a personal question and none of your business, Chris.
We've had player rehearsal.
Trying to go for a segue there, Derek.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were just being nosy. Lauren's tired from play rehearsal. She's been at it more than I have.
Yeah, well, we've had play rehearsal every night since, like, Saturday, and it's been some late nights. So tonight's opening night, though. Woo!
The Peacemakers. This isn't the first time we've talked about it on
in
the memo.
Baldwin.
Ever.
It's every Thursday through Monday, just starting tonight. Get there.
It's every Thursday through Monday, like for the end of time?
You just said it's every Thursday through Monday. It starts this certain
I didn't sign on for that. I just did it. And we're going to get really tired of that. I signed on for this weekend.
It's not Broadway. Monday. So it's just
catch all 72 performances coming soon. Chris, you saw it the other night.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, in fact, Brad and I talked about it a little bit yesterday. Okay. That's why I'm kind of.
Now we unsegue.
I was saying on yesterday's show too. Yeah, I was really impressed by what I saw, and you know, like I told you, I mean, I like westerns, and so there's that too. But I thought the story was good. I was kind of I want to know how it ends. I didn't make it for the end.
Very dramatic, lots of love triangles. Set's really awesome.
Yeah,
plays good. What?
Don't give anything away.
I just said love triangles and that's drama. That's anyway.
But anyway, yeah, I was out there.
You know, whatever.
Come see it.
Just come see it.
With the Baldwin Main Street Players.
We've got a Derek story we'll talk about, I guess, in scene today. And I was out filming a video that goes with it. Can kind of promo it a little bit for anyone to get
I got
to
watch that.
Taste before you.
Brad's in the show, too, but Brad's MIA today.
Mm-hmm.
Hope he's not MIA. So I hope he's un-MIA
Daily
before
Journal
tonight.
Represent.
What is that? A quarter of the cast, right?
There's 11 or 12 of us in the cast.
I could count. But
I think what Brad said yesterday is there's 12 in the cast and three from the journal.
There we go. I'm not in there very much. I'm like a cameo.
You're in the first
scene.
Act one, scene one, and then
dead. Dead before scene two comes around.
Why is there a marshal in Water Valley, Texas?
Ruining it for everyone.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. What's a U.S. Marshal doing in Water Valley?
Nothing now. He's dead.
I think Lauren has. I think Lauren and Brad have two of my favorite lines, at least that I heard.
Which
yours would be that one and your line about.
I'm just a farm girl.
Yeah,
really.
That's it.
I just take care of my daddy's horses.
I'm just Lauren Ingalls Wilder.
Like you've been to school and all.
You sound like you got schooling, boy.
Well, I just think it's funny. Were you there for this? Jonathan was like, this is a total segue, so if you want to. But he was like, say this line again. And it was what's going on? What's a U.S. Marshal doing in Water Valley?
I'm from Michigan.
Yes, and he's like, it sticks out like a sore thumb. Because he's like, I was like, what's going on? What's going on?
Mm-hmm.
Not what's going on.
On.
What's going
on?
You guys say it. What's
going on?
On.
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 What's going on?
What's going on? So I had to like think about it and like say it. It's the only thing I had to think about.
Oh, yeah, sure. Don't you know? Yeah.
What's going on?
Well,
yeah.
It's cold up here today, isn't it? Up here in the north. In the Michigan area.
Drink my pop and call my mom.
Mom? Is it a roof or a roof?
Roof.
Roof.
My room.
Room? Room is right.
Yeah. Okay.
Room?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, it is obvious. What's funny to me, though, how long have you been here in the South now?
4 years.
Is you have adapted, and in the number of years I've known you, you have adapted the vocabulary, but not the dialect.
Hey, y'all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hi, y'all.
Hi, y'all.
Hello, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of unnerving. It's like, oh, stop.
Well, it's funny. Apparently my phone voice is very Yankee.
You probably slip into it talk to your parents.
Oh yeah. Or when I'm home, I pick it back up.
It's like a reset button.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And I have tried my entire life not to sound like I am from here.
You don't really though.
Thank you. I have a little bit of a twang. I can't shake.
Dennis told me the other day that my New Orleans accent was a lot thicker when I first came here, which was just 6 years ago.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Really?
I guess I blend.
Hmm. We're all blended. Takes all kinds.
Yep.
To put a newspaper out or something.
Speaking of newspapers.
Today's show, we want to tell you, is sponsored by South, a locally owned restaurant here in Tupelo, offering fine dining in a casual atmosphere. Mm-hmm. So check out South on North Gloucester. Yeah, we do have a lot to talk about today. Emma Kent's going to be joining us, Caleb Bedillion, Scott Morris talking about I Saw the Light, Hank Williams biopic, and then I've got some stuff going on in Scene to tell you about.
Yeah, a lot to talk about.
Playing your weekend, although if you're coming to all five performances of The Peacemakers, you got your weekend set already. And also a lot of money being shelled out there, so... So if we can, if I can stay awake, and Lauren's not going to share her coffee, apparently, I'm just going to have to, just going to slurp it right down. You drank it all, like, just so I wouldn't, thanks for the offer. I appreciate you letting me have some.
No problem.
Before you just downed it all. Well, you're in charge of the show now. I make no promises of staying awake through this.
That's fine.
Okay, let's do it.
One woman show.
All right.
All right, we have Caleb Bedillion here to talk about a structured downtown that's kind of been a hot topic lately. It's 202 West Main Street, which is also the Thomas Kincannon Elkin Drugstore building. It's a historic building, but can you talk a little bit about what's going on with it?
Right. And some of our listeners may know this building as, until recently, home to the Atlanta Bar and Grill, which received a little bit of attention for complaints from the neighbors and such, but that really doesn't have anything to do with the current situation. So what the city council did on Tuesday night at their normal meeting is declare the building a menace to public health, safety, and welfare, which sounds dramatic, but really it's a bureaucratic procedure. It's a way to get a property owner's attention. This is the same thing they would do, say, if there was an overgrown tall lot that was breeding mosquitoes and all sorts of stuff. They would declare it a menace, and in a way to force the property owner to take action to remediate the alleged problem. And I got to say alleged here because the property owner, who is named Thomas Carter, objects pretty strenuously to the declaration that it is a menace.
Well, they're saying that there's a brick loose in the upper story window, and it could fall potentially. And he's had – so why is he objecting to it?
Right. So this building is at the corner of West Main and Spring Streets. On the Spring Street side, on the upper floor of the building, there are several windows with a brickwork over the sill of the window. As city code enforcement claims that the bricks are such that they pose a threat of falling onto the sidewalk below. Mr. Carter submitted material to the council that was prepared by a structural engineer who does happen to be his father, but that may not matter one way or the other. It says the building is constructed in such a way that though the bricks may look misaligned, basically the weight of the building is holding them down and there's no way they can fall out. So he says there's really no issue here. He did have some work done to that area. He says it was primarily an aesthetic repair just to make it look a little bit better as kind of a good faith gesture toward the city. But they declared it a menace anyway. Mm-hmm. But last I heard on this, city attorney Ben Logan met Wednesday morning with Mr. Carter and Mr. Carter's attorney, Gregory Harbison, who rents space in the building. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to work through some of this new material that has been submitted, and the city's building inspector is trying to get some questions he has answered. Once all that has happened, we'll see if the city is satisfied and decides the situation is good, or if they move forward to have more things done.
And procedurally, they have, is it 30 days to address?
It's a pretty complicated process, but I believe following the declaration that it's a menace, essentially you have 30 days where the owner, if there's a clear problem, the owner has 30 days to deal with it. Okay. In this situation, you know, I assume the parties will be using that time to try and come to some kind of mutual understanding mm-hmm. about the situation. But to be real dramatic here, this process could theoretically eventually culminate in forced demolition of the Ooh, building. Okay. Though, I mean, no one wants that to yeah. happen. That's not really a even remote possibility here.
Yeah, well, it's a historic building, too. It's century old.
It's about, I believe, according to some of our previous reporting, it's circa 1900.
Okay, yeah. All right, well, we'll have to see how this turns out.
All right, it's going to be in the full article with lots mm-hmm. more details on this situation. We'll be in tomorrow's paper.
Excellent. All right, thank you, Caleb.
All right, thanks, Lauren.
I want to remind you about our two sister podcasts that the Daily Journal puts out in addition to the memo. They are for our sports fans, of course. Double Coverage will air today, Thursday, as well as Prep Rally comes out on Wednesdays. As far as Double Coverage, you can find that online, doublecoverage.djournal.com. Also, as well, on iTunes and other podcast apps.
Double Coverage, of course, is Ole Miss, Mississippi State sports. Prep Rally is high school sports.
Emma Kent joining us now to talk about Special Olympics that happened in Pontotoc yesterday. Is that correct?
Yeah.
East Union morning. Attendance Center.
Yes, they were there.
Yes. Among others?
Among lots of others.
Oh, cool.
Schools from 8 counties in the region were there. So, I mean, it was like everybody.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What kinds of things were they doing?
They had lots of fun events and competitions. They did, like, you know, races, like 50 and 25 meter races, where they would sprint. And then they also did, like, long jump, and they had a basketball competition and tennis ball throw. So all kinds of things.
Who organizes this?
The Special Olympics
organization.
Okay. Yeah.
So were they chosen, or was it something special for it to be done here?
No, they do it every year. And it's Area 11, just kind of the local branch, puts it on for all of the school groups. And it's the regional qualifier for the state Special Olympic Games. So it's, you know, it's pretty fun. I think around 70 students will get to move on, or will now move on from yesterday, to the state games in Biloxi.
And then that'll move on to Biloxi, okay. Why is this so important to the kids, Emma?
I think it's probably, you know, they don't get to compete every day and play sports and go out and just, like, have fun like that all the time. And so they, you know, they're just happy to be there, and they're excited to be with other kids. A lot of them, I talked to a couple students yesterday, and a lot of them were just saying, you know, it's just fun to be here, and it's fun to make new friends with people from other schools and kind of just get to be together and celebrate and have fun. So it's just a really fun event for
with
them.
70 advanced, how many were out there?
Over 500.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a big group. So, and I think with volunteers, you know, including the volunteers and everybody else who was there, all of the people, it was over 1,200 people were there. Jeez. So it's a big event.
Where did this take place?
Pontotoc High School.
Pontotoc High.
Yeah.
Yeah. They've had a lot of people out there then.
Yeah, it was definitely packed.
So, I mean, you interviewed a few kids, you talked to them, what they were really enjoying and what they, I mean, were they there all day? Was it a get out of school?
Yeah, they started, I think they started around 8:45, and then the games, like the actual, competition started around 10. So they were there all day, hanging out. And a lot of the volunteers there were students from those schools. You know, they could volunteer to come and spend the day there helping out. So that was neat, too, to see lots of different students together and working together and interacting. So it was really neat.
Good deal. Emma, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Derek.
Don't forget to watch the Daily Journal's Capitol View webcast each Monday afternoon at djournal.com. Capitol Bureau Chief Bobby Harrison provides commentary and analysis on the issues being debated by Mississippi lawmakers. You can watch live each Monday afternoon at 2 p.m. or catch the replay later in the day. New episodes will be released as long as the legislature is in session. Lauren, it's time for today's news memo.
Tis.
For more on these stories, read the Daily Journal or visit djournal.com. Chickasaw County School District's consolidation will be delayed until at least 2017. It appeared earlier in the legislative session that the Houston, Oklahoma, and Chickasaw County school districts would be combined. However, the House voted on Wednesday to send legislation to Governor Phil Bryant that will establish a 10-member study committee. The group would include 9 members from Chickasaw County, plus State Superintendent of Education Carrie Wright or her designee. It would file a report on the issue by December.
Legislation that will make it easier for students enrolled in private schools to get state funds to help their education was sent to Governor Phil Bryant. The State House approved an expansion of the Equal Opportunity for Students with Special Needs Act. The expansion would open up the scholarship program to special needs students who have been in public schools within the past 5 years. Currently, those students had to be in the public schools within the past 18 months.
Amory musician Trent Harmon will join fellow Mississippian LaPorsha Renee tonight for the American Idol series finale. Dallas musician Dalton Rapatoni was eliminated on Wednesday night, leaving the two Mississippians competing to become the last American Idol. The Amory Railroad Festival hosts a series finale viewing party tonight as part of the festival's opening. It will be followed by a free concert by headliner James Otto. Also, you can listen to Wednesday's episode of The Memo to hear an interview with Harmon.
The 2016 Newbery Medal Award winner, Matt De La Pena, will visit the Lee County Library on April 11th to open up a conversation at the Helen Foster Lecture Series. He will speak at 6:30 p.m. De La Pena writes stories that take place on the other side of the tracks by exploring identity and his experiences as a young biracial boy. He is the first Latino to win the prestigious Newbery Medal.
Residents of the West Girard Road area of Starkville should be on the lookout for a missing 7-foot-long boa constrictor.
Oh my gosh.
Police were contacted in mid-March by the owner of the red-tail boa that the pet snake went missing from 503 West Girard Road. Starkville Animal Control has not received any information or any sightings of this snake, but has closely patrolled the area daily. Police Chief Frank Nichols asked that the citizens in the area remain vigilant, keep an eye on small pets, and remind their children to stay away from snakes. If anyone in the area sees a snake of this description, the description being that it's 7 feet long, call Animal Control at 662-769-2728 during normal business hours or at 662-323-4131 after hours. Again, the snake is 7 feet long. I don't think you're going to mistake it for something. Is that it? I'm not sure, so sure if that's it.
No.
Is that it?
But that's 6.5.
That can't be it. We're not looking for him. We're looking for the 7-foot boa constrictor.
I knew you'd like that one.
In Oktibbeha County has a 7-foot boa constrictor?
I don't know.
Riley Manning?
Yeah. He does have...
He'd be like, look how cute it is. I'd be like, what's wrong with you?
Oh, can I fit it Manning. In my pocket?
Riley does have some snake. One snake.
He has one snake.
One snake. You've seen it.
Titus?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I took care of it for a little while.
So. But that was fun.
You took care of it?
No, I didn't do that. It sat in my house for a week.
I would let it go.
Well, my dog was really like, what is this?
That doesn't look like a thing I want to be near.
He would stand there and stare at it.
That's so nerving. Like,
my dog would. He'd just be like,
I can handle spiders. I just don't do them.
I don't really. If it was in the container, it was fine.
Well, let's segue to something a little bit more desirable, Lauren.
Yeah. So I went to South a week or two ago and had an opportunity to take some ad photos there and was so impressed. The new chef, he started about a year ago, Nick Rice. He has really they've totally revamped things and totally changed the game up, and they've been doing a great job. Have a lot of new dishes available, and they also have some really great drinks. They always kind of change the drink menu out, and they always focus on local, the bartender's telling me they do the Mississippi Cathead vodka, and they find mint from a local farmer. I think that's really awesome. They also have a lot of things going on during the week. They do Tuesday is a date night, and they have trivia on Wednesdays, and they have brunch, a Bellini mimosa bar on Saturdays. Gonna check that out. So you know, a lot going on at South. You guys should go check it out.
South, of course, located on North Gloucester above the McCullough intersection.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you.
I didn't add that. Wasn't it the old...
Old Shoney's.
Yes. Yep.
Many a breakfast bar consumed at that location.
We don't have Shoney's up north. We have Big Boys.
You have Bob Evans. Do you have Bob Evans?
Oh, yeah, Bob Evans, yeah. But Big Boy is the Shoney equivalent.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Scott Moore is joining us now to talk about this week's film, I Saw the Light, another in a long stretch of musical biopics that seem to be coming out lately.
And this time it's Hank Williams. Hank Williams Sr., I guess we have to say.
Apparently that didn't help the story, though.
I was pulling for this. I really wanted it to be good. I like Tom Hiddleston. He was in Thor. He's Loki in Thor and the Marvel movies. Mm-hmm. Love that. And then there's a very low-key, weird Jim Jarmusch movie where he's a vampire.
I've and seen only that lovers one. Left alive. Yeah.
And that's such a slow-burn movie, but it's so interesting. Well, this is a slow-burn movie, and it's not terribly interesting.
Does it ever catch on fire?
Not for me, it didn't. You know, I'm not a purist, so I don't know. Somebody else can tell you how well Tom Hiddleston does performing as Hank Williams.
Yeah.
I was entertained as far as that went. It's just the scenes between him and his, between Hank Williams and his wife, Audrey, just seemed to go on forever, and they never went any place that was unexpected. And I just feel like, we kind of know the story. He died at 29. He was an addict. He drank a lot. He did pills. He was a wonderful musician who wrote brilliant songs. But I don't think this really shows you the wonderful musician who wrote brilliant songs. It doesn't really. You know what? It's a depressive ride when it would have been better off being, I think, a manic depressive ride. So the highs and lows could be in contrast with each other.
Is the plot driven just solely by like Genesis, his origin story, or is it?
Not so much. It's more about, it kind of centers on his relationship with Audrey and their kind of back and forth as it goes along. We spend a lot of time with those two, and so that seems to be the through line. And we start before he hits it big, but not when he was a kid. We start when we start with their marriage, yeah. Actually. And in fact, Hulk's own Todd Barnett is in that scene when they get married. And you can see Todd, a lot of his lines were cut out on the cutting room floor, but you can see Todd pick up a wrench. He's about the first person you see in the movie. And he had a nice line that got cut. But he had fun. He enjoyed meeting them. They're nice guys, I'm told, the director and everybody, but they didn't make a very good movie.
Mm. Well, you gave it a D.
I gave it a
round.
D. Showing at the Malco.
Music biopics are always swing and miss for me most of the time. The last one I saw that just really did something for me was the Brian Wilson Beach Boys, Love and Mercy, but that one was actually driven by Brian Wilson making the movie, so it was...
Yeah, I haven't seen that one, but Straight Outta Compton was pretty good.
Yeah.
But I think that, you know what really ruined musical biopics is VH1 and Behind the Music. Mm-hmm. I mean, because the pattern pretty much fit for every band. Bunch of talented young kids get together, form a band, hit it big, and then drugs and alcohol and break up, and then there's
either a car wreck, a bus wreck, or a plane crash.
Yeah, a plane crash.
And every single one somewhere. Of them. Scott, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, I'm glad to have the opportunity to make this podcast great again.
So, Derek, what's going on this week?
Well, Lauren, I'm glad you asked. The Tupelo Film Festival, while it's not this weekend, you can find on the front page of the scene section, in advance for next week's event, is the 13th annual Tupelo Film Festival, and you can find that at the Malco Theater out by the mall. So that's always a big deal. In the month of April, people coming together to celebrate films, show off local actors showing local films, and that kind of thing. So don't want to forget about that.
Mm-hmm.
Schedule is still being tweaked, but you can find full listing as it becomes available in the next couple of days at tupelofilmfestival.net. So, like I said, that is going on next weekend, this mm-hmm. weekend, of course. Also at TCT this yeah. weekend, The Boys Next Door, TCT Off-Broadway, actually.
Shout out to my friend Allie. This is her first play. She's in
there
it.
There you go, right so, there.
Yeah.
As we mentioned earlier in the show, it's also the Amory Railroad Festival.
Mm-hmm.
Busy weekend. Also a lot of concerts going on at the Lyric in Oxford, including St. Paul and the Broken Bones. Playing.
They're gonna be awesome.
That would be my fourth or fifth time seeing them. I did. So, and then you land in Baldwin, and that's where we'll be.
Mm-hmm.
So, obviously, anybody who's listened to this show knows that the Peacemakers is happening this weekend. But I don't know that we've really talked, too much about the plot and what it's about and, what people can expect. Mm-hmm. I mean, kind of tell the story. It was written by Clark Ritchie, Rex mm-hmm. Harsin, uh-huh. original production.
Yeah.
So, what's it about?
Well, if you've ever seen The Rifleman or Gunsmoke or things of that nature, or films like The Good, Bad, and the Ugly, Lauren had never seen a Western before.
No.
When we started this. I don't know that she has now.
Actually, no.
You need to watch Tombstone or...
I've heard a lot about Tombstone.
Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
High Noon.
High Noon. Butch Cassidy. Shane. Just never really
Josie Wales.
It. Or Josie, like they probably watched
Josie Wales. Wales. Good, Bad, and the Ugly.
Can't even see.
Rawhide.
Sorry, everybody.
The Unforgiven.
Bonanza.
Keep making me feel terrible.
But you know, you mentioned that. I know when I was out there Monday night, and I could see what he was saying, you know, when I interviewed Clark about it, he said they kind of mix some of the traditional, you know, old style, stylized Westerns like we talked about, but also it's got some of the, you know, some of the modern Westerns are a little bit grittier.
Yeah.
Like the recent adaptation of True Grit. But also, you know, it reminded me of some Quentin Tarantino a little bit, Hateful Eight, and, you know, kind of had a little bit more.
It's not your typical spaghetti Western. It's not as cartoonish or comedic as some of those may have come off. There's definitely a lot of dark tones in this one. The idea of good versus evil and what side you're on in that battle, the eternal struggle of good versus evil. So,
characters not being what you expect in the
end. Maybe a little flipping around.
Is what I think Rex, you know, and I haven't seen the end, so I'm not worried about giving away
spoilers. We don't want to give away spoilers.
But I know Rex, you know, when I interviewed him about it, you know, that's kind of what he said is that, or maybe it was Clark who said that, is that, you know, some characters maybe not be exactly what you're expecting them to be.
Mm-hmm. There's, so you have these classic archetypes from the Westerns, the sheriff, the drifter, the deputy, the Miss Kitty, girl. The saloon girl. You've got all these, and slowly, at the top of the show, you think they're almost cliche characters because you've seen this 1,000 times before, but slowly as the play unravels, they become different people. So it's very interesting. Look, it's ambitious. I think it's just the set's amazing, but to see a Western done on stage is a pretty big deal. I think.
Yeah. So. Right. I mean, I know more theater, Derek, than I do, but that was the big point that they were making when I was out there again working on that video. Is that it's rare to see a Western on stage.
Yeah, I didn't.
It's uncommon. It's uncommon. It's not that you never see it. It's just. And if it is, it's usually something like Blades and Saddles, or it's a comedy just set in the Old West or something.
Mm-hmm.
This is a very intricate tale, not only from the story perspective, but what they did with the set. There's two main sets, and they didn't just fabricate sets on stage. They built actual, you know, in theater, you get it. You drill the walls up, and it's just good enough to hold everything together till the show's over with. This is permanent structures that are going to have to be they're going to be kept. I mean, they're going to have to be disassembled to get off stage. But it's a real bar. These are real saloon stairs doors. And, this is a real jail cell. I mean, you know, it's a lot of moving pieces to it. So they've done an excellent job with it. I can't speak to it. I came in late in the game. But Lauren has been there since day one, and they've all worked really hard on it. And I just have a little cameo, so I'm not even really. I didn't even make it the cast list.
I thought in again, I don't have the experience or background in theater, but to me, I guess one of the things that makes a play great is when it really, and a movie too, is it really transports you somewhere and you really feel like you're there. And I mean, that was, even though I was just there for rehearsal, you know, I felt that. I mean, the scene was part of that. You know, the gunfire is part of that. And
just a disclaimer for everybody, there will be loud.
There will be loud gunfire.
Even some of the actors, prepared. I mean, obviously getting the, you know, period clothing and everything, but I think they were saying that one of the actors has even grown out a mustache since like January just to like fit the.
I don't know who that would be. I have no knowledge of such a thing. One thing I think you can discern from it, you were talking about being scooped up into the world. I feel you were very much transported by watching this. It is one that you very much believe. What is happening around you could actually be happening around you. It's you know, there's no somebody's on their cell phone or something like that. I mean, it's very, very much looks like it's all happening where it's supposed to be and when it's supposed to be, which I believe is 1870s, 70
something in Water Valley, Texas.
1874. Yeah, thank you, Mr. Hamilton. So anyway, that is $20 for a ticket, and of course it is a little more expensive. They're calling this a premium show, more bang for your buck, literally, with the gunshots. But obviously, a lot more money and effort and blood, sweat, and tears have been driven into this show. Yes. So it's a little bit more than your normal theater going experience. But you'll get a lot more out of it as a result as well. So Downtown Baldwin starting tonight, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and again on Monday night.
7 o'clock each night.
7 p.m. each night, 2 p.m. on Sunday. 7:06, 12:19 for tickets to that, to see Lauren play Mary McKee.
Mary McKee and Claude
Spite. Hi, y'all.
Marshall.
U.S. Marshall Claude Spite.
And Brad is
Van Bellinger.
He's a bad guy. He's awesome. He just like stumps around.
He's a bully. The bad guy.
What's your name, dog?
He is the bad guy. So hopefully we'll keep him well through the production. I guess he's a little under the weather today. So he says, who can say? Anyway. That's your scene section for today. And that does it for another episode of The Memo. Yeah. And we wrap up this week. We do want to remind you that today's show was sponsored by South, a locally owned restaurant offering fine dining in a casual atmosphere. You need to try their cheap date, Lauren. Their cheap date. Every Tuesday night.
Cheap date night.
Every Tuesday night when the restaurant offers two meals for the price of one. That includes salad, side, dessert, and beer or wine, all for $25. Don't forget about South for your dining needs on North Gloucester Street in Tupelo. Check us out online, memo.thejournal.com. You can also find us on various podcatchers like iTunes and Satchel. You can email us, memo@journalinc.com, and we are on Twitter, @DJournalMemo. That is the best way to find out when new episodes are available. All the stories you've heard about today, you can find in either today's Daily Journal or tomorrow's. We talked about it tomorrow. We'll know if Trent Harmon advances if he wins at this point, first place. It's either going to be first or second at this point.
They're both winners at this point.
Yeah, I would say so. For it to come down to the two of them, no matter who wins, that's pretty awesome. Some nice publicity for our state.
For Mississippi.
Which it needs right now. So we will be back next week with an all-new episode. Again, those stories online, djournal.com, or in your issue of today or tomorrow's Daily Journal. Also follow the Daily Journal online on Twitter, @DJournal now. We will see you guys on Monday. Thanks, Lauren.
Thank you. Bye.